I don't have Mother's on my mind. I've already got that off my mind today. So I hope y'all had a good Mother's Day, and mothers have been honored in the way that they should have been. And I hope the Lord was honored in honoring them also. The subject I have on my mind tonight is found over in the 12th chapter of John. It's about light. There's where he teaches about light. And this is right before the Passover. It's, to put it in frame of time, it's right before he goes into the last, the communion with the disciples and all. So this is one of the last lessons that he teaches his disciples, and he's talking about light. And in verse 35, he said, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." So the subject I want to talk about is light a little bit, and how it's used in the scriptures. God is the light of the world. We know that. And the first reference to light is found over in Genesis. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God moved upon the face of the deep, and he said, let there be light. And there was light immediately." That first light that God speaks about is himself there. I believe it's the presence of God himself. And we want to notice in particular that darkness can be described as the absence of light. Think about that. Using that in a terms of regeneration, "And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're spiritually discerned." So natural man is in a state of darkness. Unless God shines his light upon the heart of man, man does not see God. It's easy to see the creation that he's created out there and all the physics and the wonderful things that he does. And light is one aspect of the physics of God. He created this thing called light. I like to think about how that God created the light, and he put certain parameters to it. He even used the light in one instance there where the first rainstorm came, and I like to think it was a hurricane. For 40 days, a hurricane lasted upon the whole face of the earth. And he totally wiped out the earth with water. And because the survivors of that, eight souls there was that survived that, Noah and his family, they would not have to have fear in their hearts every time they would see it rain. God placed a bow in the sky. The bow is, by physics, a breakdown of light. It's a different wavelengths of light scientifically. That's what you look at it. And there's a lot of very interesting things about it. But God is very creative in light himself. And he put this bow and he made beauty about it. He separated the different colors of light out. And if you've ever seen a fantastic rainbow, it's surely a creation of God. I remember one time when I was traveling down the road and people started pulling over. And I was wondering if there was an accident on the road. And no, what people were actually wanting to do is get off on the side of the road to see this temporary miracle, because there had just been a rainstorm and it was one massive, massive rainbow in the sky. And they were they know that it's a temporary miracle, that you only see it for a short period of time. So they wanted to give it all the respect that it was due and perhaps take a picture of it too. It's quite a dangerous thing to do on a road, to pull off on the interstates to see that. But there was a lot of people pulling off to see this miracle that God had created. And this was the bow that he set in the sky, the actual separation of his light into the spectrums. And we see that now. On occasion, every once in a while, he'll give us that miracle after a rainstorm. If it's just right, we can see a bow in the sky. It comforts the heart of man that he doesn't have to fear anymore, because God promised, "I'll not ever destroy the earth again by water." He didn't promise he wouldn't destroy it again. He just said, "You don't have to worry about the rain. No matter how bad it gets, it's not going to happen again. That was a one-time event." He totally cleaned up the earth, didn't he? But mankind and his depravity and his darkness was still there. Even the depraved Noah was aboard that ark. And to show, as he come off that ark there, the depravity of man, it wasn't too long before Noah proved that that he was actually a sinner. God loves us, and here he's telling his disciples that I am the light of the world. He is a light that shineth in a dark place. This world is a dark place that we live in. And as we think about him being the light of the world here, and down to verse 44, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You know, in the natural event of a natural man, unless God shines in his heart, there's darkness, depravity and darkness. But when the Spirit of God shines into the heart of a man, born him again of that Spirit, allowing him to even feel a relationship with God, crying to him as it were, Abba, Father, Abba being an affectionate term such as Papa, and you cry an affectionate term toward God. You have an affection toward God from that point in time. And then you have light through the gospel. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. Now that's a confusing way of expressing it. But he came not into this natural world to save the whole world. He came to save his people. Just as the angel said, he shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Christ, the anointed Savior, Jesus Christ, the anointed Savior, to save his people from their sin. And that darkness that's in this world, as children of light, and we find that expressed over in 2 Corinthians 4, I think it is. Let's see if I can turn to it here. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4, where it talks about being children of light. If our gospel is hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, his light doesn't shine into the hearts of all men, but it does shine into the hearts of his children. The gospel empowers. I tell you what, it's like a battery is to a flashlight. It's a power to be able to see in a dark place. The gospel is hid from them. In the world, it means foolishness. The world looks upon worship of God as foolishness. But yet, they will create their own God. This God that here that's mentioned here hath blinded the mind of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine in them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. So we are children of light. The preaching of the gospel is of Jesus Christ. And for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Jesus Christ is God in the person. He's the image of God. See, it tells you here who is the image of God, up in the verse before that. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, but it does shine unto us, doesn't it? Every time you hear his name mentioned, it should have a special affection in your heart for that name. That name should be revered above all names. God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. See, even in the creation, he commanded that there be light. And even in his creation of a child of God, he says, let there be light. And there is light. Isn't that amazing? God is still in the creating business. He's still creating. That plastic hand that creates. And he creates, you know, man can't create anything. He can just kind of reshape some things. But God creates. He spoke and it was. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's our lot in this life here. As children of light, living in a dark place, we're the light of the world. You know, we are light into a dark place. Christ shining in our hearts is like putting a candle. And, you know, and he talks about the candle in other places. And he said, once you have a candle, you don't put it under a bushel that would hide it, a basket or some kind of container that would hide that candle. But you put it on a candlestick. That helps to magnify the light. The higher, as you raise up the light of Jesus Christ in your life, you magnify his name. You give glory to God. You know, there was a greater light and a lesser light given later on in that creation there. And the greater light was the sun, and the lesser light was the moon. I tell you, it's a whole lot like that in our lives as children of God. The moon has no light of its own, but God shining on our life makes us shine. The sun shining on that dead object, the moon, makes it appear as if it had life. And that's what happens to us. We give evidence of life. We give light into a dark place. Cast down, but not destroyed. In another place, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. There was a lot of confusion, and he accused the Jews in particular, said, you seek after the Father, but I am the avenue to the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Think about that. We will see God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When we are glorified, when we can see with glorified eyes, we will see them. We will be conformed into the image of Christ in that day. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day. See, we have already been judged in the person of Jesus Christ. When he made atonement for us, when he poured out his blood in Calvary, he was judged on our behalf. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that was truly a dark time in the world, wasn't it? It was a time in which God, at the high point of the day, God shut the light out, and it became darkness. And I tell you, in that holiest of holies where he was at, and he was in the holiest of holies, being the sacrifice and the priest for 3 hours, I believe this world was in darkness. I believe this world was in darkness. You know, darkness was one of the plagues that was passed upon Egypt, wasn't it? But as you study that lesson about how God, there was light in the houses of Israel. They didn't have to fear the darkness. It's just some natural fear that we have within ourselves of darkness. When you have little children, that's something that you have to help them to overcome, because they don't understand. There's something bad can happen to you in the darkness. And you've got to go into their rooms and show them there's not anything bad lurking in that corner there. We can check it out. We are little children of God. We need his comfort, the light that he gives us, to show us that though the world is bad, and in this world ye shall have tribulation, even though we know that, we have the comfort of knowing that the very light of the world is our Savior. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say and what I should speak. And I know his commandment is life everlasting. in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the foundation of the world. Being a child of God, an heir of promise, a light in a dark place as it is. Now, where God is, there's no need, there is no darkness. Heaven will not have a night. It's spoken of over in Revelation 21, 23, I think it is. Let me turn over there real quick. And I was reading about that earlier. 21:23, speaking about heaven, the pearly gates. I saw no temple there, and the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Light again. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall not be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that is defiling, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's heaven. That's our place. That's where we're going. That's home. This is not our home. This is a pilgrimage we have here. And God blesses us with a lot of blessings here. But as I think about this light here, you know, in the last day, you know, he's going to call the bodies forth. But there's another amazing miracle that's going to happen. They which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to tell you that expression, twinkling of an eye. The eye is the member of light in your body. And that twinkling of light is the speed of light. That's how fast God is. He's the speed of light. He travels at the speed of light. Man will never be able to achieve this number that I've been taught about all my life. So many light years, speed of light traveling. Man cannot understand fully light, because God is light. He uses that as his name. He is light. And he will change you in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, speed of light. Those that are alive and remain. And they shall be called up to be with him in the skies, taken off as valued possessions to a mansion he's prepared for you. I go to prepare a place for you. I would not have told you this if not so. And if I go, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Beautiful lesson about God and his light. That darkness that was upon this world for 3 hours was lifted up. To be a secret disciple of Christ, you know, it speaks about that over here in verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, because lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's a good explanation for it. There were secret disciples there, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. And they actually outed themselves, as it were, because they went to the powers that be to beg the body of Christ. And they wanted to prepare that body for burial in a grave that had never been occupied. A virgin tomb. Just like he came out of a virgin womb, he went into a virgin tomb. It had never been used before. That womb had never been used before. And he didn't require but 3 days and 3 nights. It was just a temporary time. But he was bound by his own word. The Jews keep asking after a sign. He said, this will be the sign that was given to you. For as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. His body was interred in that grave. But when he separated his spirit from his body, I commend unto thee my spirit, Father. He went out of that body, and that body became dead. Death is upon that body for 3 days and three nights. And you know, they were looking for that body to be deteriorated when they went to anoint it. They were going to anoint the body. That's what the sisters were doing on the morning of the resurrection, is they were going to anoint that body because they felt like that body was deteriorating already. Oh, did they not understand the perfect body of Jesus Christ? His body was perfect. It would never deteriorate. It would never deteriorate. Until he come back into that body, it would be exactly the same body that he laid down. But he was bound by 3 days and three nights that the prophecy would be fulfilled. And yet they came to anoint that body. Those two disciples, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they told something about themselves. They perhaps put themselves in jeopardy because they asked for Jesus' body. They asked to have the body of Jesus Christ. That meant that body meant something to them. That man, they had to go ask the powers that be. And the more amazing thing of that was the powers that be granted the privilege. They granted the privilege to them. You know, the powers didn't cooperate with the execution of Christ. There was so many outs that's the reason the guilt was put upon the Jewish nation. And they didn't even have the power to execute. And yet, they executed him because he said, I am the Son of God. The Immaculate Conception. The Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what he was guilty of. Telling the truth that he was God manifest. The light of the world. But I am come to light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You know, the gospel in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, let's turn over there real quick and look at that. The gospel is, see if I can find it, too much trouble. If our gospel be hid, is hid from them that are lost. See, this gospel should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ Jesus' sake. We're told to be light in the world. We're told to be salt unto this world. Salt is a purifying element. We're told to stand for the truth. That's where we're found tonight, is standing for the truth that was delivered unto the apostles by Jesus Christ himself, written by the inspiration of God into this word that we read from tonight, and believed upon by his people. Belief. You know, the world doesn't believe this is an inspired word of God. And they have a problem with even God creating this world. They can't even get past the first verse of the Bible. But you know, I have faith, and faith is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All those are fruit of the Spirit, manifestations that God has worked a work in your heart that you can let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I thank you for your good attention. I hope you got something from this short little lesson about light. More could be said, but I thank the Lord for what I was able to say. There's